107, I'll be reading about the first half of that psalm. I want to point out, you're going to hear three testimonies at verse 4, 10, and 17, each beginning with some. I'll remind you that what you're about to hear is the eternally true, trustworthy, inerrant word of the living God. And he speaks this morning. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shadows the doors of bronze, and he cuts into the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Father, by your Spirit's help and presence, please attend to the preaching and the hearing and believing of your word. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 107 is a psalm that actually has four testimonies of faith from people who were in a bad way. I read so far through the psalm to get to three of them. And you'll notice that in these testimonies of faith, the people cried out to the Lord in their trouble and were rescued and redeemed by God. And then they thanked God for hearing and answering and for delivering them from their distress. Now, one of the greatest privileges that any pastor or elder has in a church is when they hear the testimonies of the faith of those who desire to make professions of faith and those who desire to join the church. We hear in that time so many incredible stories of God's mercy and his grace in the journeys of faith for those that he is leading to make profession or to join. So this morning, all of you are now going to have the same privilege that we elders had about a month or so ago. Two of the young women in the class have willingly agreed to let me share their stories with you. Now, these two stories are modern versions of these testimonies that we have read in Psalm 107. And I'm illustrating the psalm with these two testimonies. As it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. First, Emily Ossing. Over the past couple of years, I've struggled with my faith. I've struggled with questions, doubts, and not knowing if what I'd been taught growing up was something I truly believed. I began struggling with anxiety during middle school, and I turned to God, praying every night that He would help me through what I was feeling. And I honestly felt an answer to my prayers. But as I entered high school, the weight of the world started pressing down on me, and I began to deal with depression and self-harm starting my sophomore year. As I struggled to deal with this, my faith in God struggled as well. I found it hard to believe that God was with me and that He loved me. But He has led me through all my struggles and will continue to do so. I began meeting with Pastor Mike, and we talked about a lot of things regarding faith and my identity in Christ. And it honestly really helped me realize that running from God wasn't the answer, and that it's okay to have doubts and questions. I began to realize that I do, in fact, believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and that He died on the cross to save me from my sins. So I made my decision. I wanted to commit my life to Christ and to make my profession of faith. I'm ready to make the commitment to Jesus and to open my heart to Him. I'm ready to put my trust in Him, especially as I go off to Trinity Western College at the end of this week. These past few years have been a battle for sure, and Satan has tried to pull me away from my faith. But I stand firm in the Lord, and am ready for my faith to become not just my parents' faith or the faith I was raised on, but my faith and my beliefs. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Thank you, Emily. Leah Brower. As most of you know, I was born and raised here in First Christian Reformed Church. Baptized as a baby, I attended Sunday school and came to church almost every Sunday as long as I've been alive. I was raised in a Christian home, went to a private Christian school. Up until recently, though, I never had my own personal relationship with God. Here's how that all changed. Growing up, my home life was pretty rough, pretty hard for me. That, plus loads of peer pressure, fear of missing out, and a disdain for the world and for my job and for a myriad of other things, led to years of partying. I wanted to feel like I had some control in my life. Yeah, that didn't happen. It just started a long, dark spiral downward till I ended up bawling on my bathroom floor at 2 a.m. for no other reason than that I had completely abandoned my faith. I had hit rock bottom. In that moment, I had forgotten even how to pray. I probably hadn't opened my Bible in years, and I had no idea where to start. I'm pretty sure that night was the lowest I'd ever been. The next weeks after that, I had countless conversations with my mother and others. She would keep telling me, "Give it to God." I didn't understand what she meant. What was God going to do that I couldn't? We prayed together so many times, but inwardly, my heart was defiant. As low as I had been, I wasn't willing to change. I thought that giving my life to God would mean that I would lose who I was as a person. I thought that everything I had made myself would be gone. Oh man, was I wrong. I cannot praise God enough for the people He has put in my life to help me to grow and to strengthen my faith. The most instrumental person would be Cal Buys. We started going to coffee once a month, and every time I felt my walls against God starting to crumble. He got me into some counseling session, and that's when the real work started to happen. By the second session, I finally understood what my mom meant, give it to God. I gave it all to Him. All my sins, all my struggles, all my anxiety and stress, all my hatred, all of my past, everything. It was like breathing deeply after being suffocated for years. It was like a huge burden that I'd carried so long was lifted off my shoulders. I felt like finally being clean after being sunk in the mud. That's when my life began. I started looking at my life with a clearer vision. Anything that happened from that point forward, I knew God was in control. Something that happened that would make me anxious, I gave it to God. Someone or something that made me mad, I would immediately pray about it. I read a devotional once that said, God doesn't give patience. He gives us opportunities to be patient. And he doesn't take away things from our life that make us angry. He gives us opportunities to show his grace toward others. So I started to pray about everything, for God to show me his will for my life, because I was so sick of pretending that I had any control. And it's amazing how quickly he answered those prayers. I started reading my Bible again. I started actually listening to the sermons in church. Good to know. Started actually listening to the sermons in church instead of daydreaming. And I started applying what I was hearing to my everyday life. I could never begin to understand the will of God and the mysterious ways that he has led me, but I trust him fully. I have recently been promoted to manager at my work, and I'm so grateful for all the people God has put in my life to help me through this next challenge. I've been through enough to realize that the struggles, the hardships, the temptations, they will never stop. But that doesn't seem to be as daunting when I have a Heavenly Father on my side. It seems so perfect that Pastor Robert has been preaching about dying to sin, realizing fully that we are so completely dead without Christ. It's been exactly what I need to hear right now. It's exactly what I've witnessed in my own life. And I plan to die to my sin every day so that I can live for Christ. I want everyone to see what God has done for me. And then she quotes from a Casting Crowns song. Because I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see nobody but Jesus. It feels so amazing and beautiful to know that I'm saved. That without a doubt, though I've sinned horribly and can in no way repay the debt that I owe, that I will still spend eternity with God. It's only by faith that I'm saved. I'll spend the rest of my life praising God for what he has done for me on the cross, and that my life can now be a testament to what God can do for others. And praise him that I will get to raise my future children in the love of God and guide them in the way my mom guided me. And that every relationship from this point forward will have God as its foundation. I'm especially thankful for First Christian Reformed Church and the family of believers that I will be a part of, for all the people that kept me in their prayers, especially Cal and Laura Bies. I don't think I would be alive today if it weren't for their prayers. I'm so excited to stand up in front of everyone and profess my faith in God, and then to live every day for the rest of my life for God. And a huge thank you to Pastor Robert for his recent sermon series, as it has taught me so much and strengthened my faith more than you will know. I greatly appreciate the new members class also, and for the awesome learning experience in helping me to grow deeper in relationship with others, and more importantly, taught me how much a church family means. Let the redeemed in the Lord say so. As the psalmist wrote, "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy." As Emily and Leah sang, "I will sing of the goodness of God, because all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father." Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. This psalm has four kinds of people. Those who wandered in the desert, who were alone, lost, without a clue, had no direction. They were hungry and thirsty. They were weary in a dry land. They were like lost travelers whose souls were faint from exhaustion. Their life was ebbing away. And all of that exacerbated by the loneliness, or at least feeling alone, like no one else knows or understands. And then the second testimony, those who are in darkness, in the valley of the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in chains, those who have rebelled against God's word, knowing what was right but not doing it, and in any sort of physical or spiritual or mental or emotional bondage, feeling like they're in chains. And then there were those who are suffering because of their own sin or the consequences of their own folly. They suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They brought the troubles on themselves. And the psalmist puts it bluntly. He calls them fools. They have no one else to blame but themselves. It's self-inflicted. All the more undeserving. And yet, hear this, notice this. That does not disqualify them from the greatness of God's grace. There are those who think they've done too much, they've gone too far, they've screwed up too bad, and there is no way back. It's not true. There's a third testimony here of those who are... that's the fourth. I've done three. Okay, keep track of where I am here. Then the fourth one that I didn't read is about those who go down to the sea and go out on the sea in ships. You may remember the illustration. But it refers to those who are in any difficulty, in the storms of life, in some crisis of circumstances, whether it's natural disasters or floods or fire or cancer, financial difficulties, something, whatever it might be, that's completely outside of their control. This is the psalm of hope for the hopeless, of love for the loveless, of direction for the lost. A psalm for those who have made a mess of their lives, who have made shipwreck of their faith, or something else has happened to them, or someone else has done something to them, but they find themselves reeling and staggering, literally at their wits' end. You've heard that phrase. It comes from the King James out of this psalm, verse 27. At their wits' end. Do you know where wits' end is? Do you know what wits' end is? It's that place where you find your wisdom has been swallowed up, that you're in over your head. You're at the end of your rope, or as Leah put it, at rock bottom. Wits' end is where all of your wisdom, all of your smarts, all of your education, all of your strength, all of your skill, all of your abilities, everything you have is useless. And God brings us to that place to show us ourselves so that He can show us Himself. Does that describe any of you? Quietly struggling? Battling with fear, doubt, anxiety, hopelessness, depression, feeling isolated, alone in the world, confused, scared, anyone. As great a man as the Apostle Paul was, he was at wit's end once, or more than that, I'm sure. But he describes one experience of it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 8 and following. When he writes to the Corinthians and he says, "We do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction that we experienced in Asia. In fact, we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. In fact, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." That's who God is. God is the God of resurrections. Now, it's interesting to me that this psalmist is pouring out his heart. He feels utterly alone. He feels like God has abandoned him, and in fact, God is not hearing his prayers at all. And what does he do? He prays. He turns to God. When you arrive at wit's end, at this point of desperation, what do you do? They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. It's an earnest prayer. It's a fervent prayer. It's a sincere and genuine prayer, and they were praying to the right person. Our God is at his best in our worst, at his best in our crises. There is no problem, there is no trial, there's no scenario that is any match for him, that's above his pay grade. The steadfast love of the Lord is just that. It is steadfast. It is sufficient. It's eternal. And then notice what those who have been redeemed do. Four times in this psalm it says, "Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man." The first word of the psalm is "oh." That "oh," let the it's an emphatic word. It's meant for emphasis. It's meant to intensify our prayer. This is a prayer of hearty, fervent thanks. I'm sure we've all here experienced someone in our lives who was just utterly ungrateful. You did something for them, you really went above and beyond maybe, and nothing. No thanks. And you're struck by that. You notice that. You don't be one of them. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. Don't miss the opportunity to give testimony to the goodness and mercy and kindness of God. We all have a redemption story of salvation, and we all have continuing stories of God's redeeming steadfast love in our lives, delivering us out of trouble, saving us, lifting us up, doing more than we could hope or imagine. If God has redeemed you, say so. If God has forgiven your iniquity, thank him. If God has taken you down to the pits of wit's end and then rescued you, know that he is Yahweh and his steadfast love. That word, you know, I've said how many times? Chesed. This chesed of God. This covenant mercy and kindness. And as you let, as the redeemed say so, would you do so as honestly as Emily and Leah did? Do you think less of them because of the dark side of their lives that they shared? I don't think so. I think you think more of them. And I think you're blessed and encouraged by that. And I think it gives more glory to God when we hear that and when we testify that to ourselves. But we're so Dutch. We don't want anybody to know. We want to put on appearances. We want to make everybody think that, you know, we got it all together and we're doing just great. I mean, how many of you knew what Emily or Leah were going through these many of the past years? You didn't. Why do we do that? Why do we not be among those who let the redeemed of the Lord say so and give the glory and the praise to God, even in the ways in which these testimonies are written for us here? Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, we sang a little earlier. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord give thanks with their lips and with their lives, with thanksgiving and thanks living. We are all perpetual partakers of God's grace and goodness. And so we should be perpetual praisers of His grace and goodness. Is God good when He takes away as well as when He gives? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Is God good when His providence is painful as well as when it is pleasant? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Is God good when He humbles us and disciplines us as well as when He lifts us up? Let the redeemed in the Lord say so. Is God good when He sends rain and storms as well as when He sends sun and calm? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And is God good when there is a gap between what we're in the middle of and what we're experiencing and that goodness of the Lord, however long that gap may be? Is He good? Let the redeemed in the Lord say so. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we give You all praise and glory and thanks and worship for Your goodness and mercy and faithfulness, and for the truth of Your Word. Let it sink deep in our hearts and remind us daily that You are the one who is holding us fast through every trial and every fearful path. In Jesus' name, amen.